guys so much. On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. All right. All right. Well, you never thought you'd hear Willie Nelson played in the Covell Community Church. So, and I know some of you are very happy about this. I'm not. I just want you to know I'm not. But I want you also to know I'm an equal opportunity music player in the Covell Community Church. So I support all you country people, and boy, oh boy, I am actually considering, after hearing that song, growing my hair out like Willie Nelson, just to let you know. So there we go. All right. Well, there's a reason. There's a big reason why we played that song. You'll see. We're getting there. A minister waited in line to have his car filled with gas just before a long holiday weekend years ago. The attendant worked quickly, but there were many cars ahead of him in the front of the service station. Finally, the attendant motioned the pastor toward a vacant pump. "Reverend," said the young man, "I am truly, truly sorry about the delay. It seems as if everyone waits until the last minute to get ready for a long trip." The minister just chuckled and nodded his head and replied to the young attendant, and he says, "I know what you mean. It's the same way in my business." With that said, we do tend to seek out nice destinations. I'm an NBA fan. I like basketball. I like all sports, but I'm a big basketball fan. And years ago when I was in college, my favorite team, the Washington Bullets, now defunct, they were playing in Indiana, and of course, the only way I was ever going to see my Bullets play was to go to Indiana, so I drafted a bunch of my friends, we got in a car, left Eastern Illinois University, and headed to Indiana to watch my Bullets play. Now, my whole crew was big basketball fans, so we were excited about the trip. There was one problem. We were more focused on the destination than the directions, and none of us had directions, and folks, by the way, this was before cell phones and iPhones and Google Maps and MapQuest, and so we didn't have GPS, and frankly, we almost missed the game. We missed the first half. None of us were happy, and the reason is because none of us were prepared. We love the destination. It's the direction that we had problems with. Now, I think in many ways that we're like this in our everyday lives when considering eternal life. In essence, we seem certain about our eternal destination without really ever considering our earthly direction. We might say, "I'm going to heaven," without really knowing how to get there. Those who say, "I'll figure it out," with regards to heaven, might just be left out. And those who say, "Everyone gets to heaven, all paths lead to heaven," might not even know that they potentially could be on a path to destruction. We're going to start today with a passage in Scripture that is foundational for our conversation today. Jesus shares these powerful words. We cannot get past them. We need to read them and study them. And today they will form the foundation for what we're talking about. It starts in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus says this: "Heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide enough for all the multitudes who choose its easy way. But the gateway of life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it." You see, the path or the road that Jesus speaks of is narrow, oftentimes difficult to navigate, and sadly and commonly it goes unnoticed. In many cases, it's just missed. Now, conversely, the highway to hell or the path or road that leads to destruction, that's an NIV term, is actually very dark and very wide and ironically easy to find. A lot of people walk down this wide pathway to hell. A lot of people don't even actually know they're on it, but believe me when I say they're walking down it. Solomon said in Proverbs 2, verses 11 through 13, he says, "You will be given sense to stay away from evil men who want you to be their partners in crime, men who turn from God's ways to walk down dark and evil paths." Proverbs 2, verse 18 says this: "Their houses lie along the road to death and hell." As someone once said, following the path of least resistance is the reason rivers and men go crooked. I think that's true today. Just about everyone we know wants to get to heaven. You probably won't meet anyone that says, I'm really looking forward to hell. I think it's going to be a great time. Most people will say, I want to get to heaven. Most people will say, I think I know how to get to heaven. And most people will say, I'm going to heaven. It's just that not everyone who says that knows how to get there. And thus, and in many cases, where heaven ends this journey on that path that Jesus prepares on that narrow road never begins. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said this. He says, I find the great things in this world is not so much where we stand, but rather is in what direction we are moving. Don't we need direction on how to get to our eternal destination? Today we're going to trust in God, and we are going to lean on His word to get us on that small and narrow road. Today we are going to travel a thing called Romans Road to get us to our destination of heaven. Now, many of you may say, I don't even know what Romans Road is, and that would actually be acceptable because this is going to be some new doctrine for a lot of people. Romans Road has been around for a long time. A lot of people have used this as a means to take people from a point of condemnation to their eternal destination. It is a way to teach people how to get to heaven. Many people are faced with the question every day. If you go to work or if you go to school, many people might come up to you and say, I want what you have. I want to know how to get to heaven. I want to know how you know you're going to heaven. And today we are going to give you the perfect map quest, the perfect GPS on how to get from point A to point heaven. This is incredibly important for our discussion today. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I am going to actually ask you to consider what Romans Road is and just how narrow and sometimes foreboding that road actually is. You see, the Romans Road to Salvation and Heaven uses verses from the book of Romans to explain why we are in need of salvation, how God gives us salvation, how we can get salvation, and what is the end of our destination to salvation. And with that being said, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You know, if you come to the Covell Community Church, we're Bible heavy. That's a good thing. So what I want you to do, I always encourage you, bring your Bibles, bring your Bibles, bring your Bibles. Today, if you did, you're going to be happy you did. But you need a pen or a pencil. And if you don't have one, I have one, and I will throw one at you, to you. So with that said, if you need one, let me know. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to make notes in that Bible. Folks, it is acceptable to write in your Bible. You can do it. Make notes. You're going to highlight it, underline it. It is included in the bulletin. Now, we got a special thing for you. At the end today, we are going to give you laminated cards that you can carry with you that describes your path down Romans Road. If someone comes up and says, I want to know how to get to heaven, this is your cheat sheet. Pull it out of your pocket. You can say, let me tell you how it works. And you're going to read this directly to them, and it will inform them and instruct them on how to get to that road. These are waiting for you up here after the service, so we'll have those for you. That is by no means the means to not write these things down. I want you to write them down and highlight them. This is how we take direction. This is also how we are going to give direction for people who are looking for heaven. Proverbs 3:6, Solomon says, in everything you do, put God first and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. We're going to trust Him to direct us. And with that said, Psalm 23, one of the most popular passages, oftentimes read in funerals, but most of the time I think we miss the individual verses that make up that psalm. The third verse of Psalm 23 says this, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Today, we're going to go down that path. So I say, as Willie Nelson probably better said it, we're going to get on the road again. We are going to jump on that path. Romans Road, here we come. Someone once said, in order to receive the direction of God, you must be able to receive the correction from God. Our destination to heaven begins with a word that you're not going to like. You shouldn't like it, and it's called condemnation. Every single person begins their life in condemnation. Every person. If you say, well, not me, I was born good, we're going to show you that you probably weren't. With that said, we're going to do something a little different, because Romans Road, as you can even see on your bulletin, Romans Road is laid out not chronologically, but rather topically. So what we're doing today, because we're gonna jump ahead to the seventh stop along Romans Road. We're going to jump ahead. I don't want you to write this down yet. I just want to make note of it. Romans 8 verse 1 is where we begin. And Romans 8 verse 1 simply says this. Now again, this is your seventh stop on Romans Road. This is not our first stop. But it's important to discuss this word condemnation, which Paul so aptly does in this verse. He says, so there is now no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now what that means is, conversely, there is condemnation for those who don't belong to Christ Jesus. There is condemnation for those who do not belong to Christ Jesus. And with that said, let's make our first stop on Romans Road. Here we go. Number one. Open your Bibles, write this down, Romans 3:10. Put a 1 by Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10, this is where you begin. Someone comes up and says, I want to know how to get to heaven. I want to know if I'm going to get to my eternal destination. You can say, well, you know what? I think we need to read Romans 3:10 first. Here's what it says. Paul says, as the scriptures say, no one is good. No one in all the world is innocent. We begin this journey condemned. And we're all in it together. You see, we cannot do enough good. We cannot be good enough because we are not good. I'm sorry. I'm sure this is not scoring a lot of popularity points so far because a lot of people say, wait a second, you just insulted me. You offended me. I'm good. I'm good. And in our own eyes, normally we're pretty good judges of ourselves being good. But God says no one is good. No one is innocent. Now, let's jump ahead to Romans 3:23. This is your second stop on Romans Road. Romans 3:23. Remember, we're going topically here. So as you're sharing this, as I'm sharing this with you, if you are unsaved, if today you say, I don't know who my Savior is, I'm not sure that I know where I'm going. Today you will know, and today you can share this with others. Romans 3:23, second stop. Yes, all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious ideal. Now, I don't want to confuse you. I'm going to try not to, but we got to go ahead and read Romans 5:12. It's not part of Romans Road. It's just simply a passage that needs to be read for various purposes, and I'm going to share those purposes with you today. This is not a stop on Romans Road, rather just a reference to something we need to read. Here's what Paul says. He says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. His sin spread death throughout all the world, so everything began to grow old and die. For all sinned. Now, a lot of people have problems with the word all. Because a lot of people, if you go to people and they say, I want to know more about heaven, and you say, well, you know what, we got to start here. Well, I'm just going to tell you that none of us are good. We've all sinned, and at that point, I'm going to warn you, you may lose them. Because at that point, they say, well, I haven't sinned. I'm a good person. And you can say, well, according to Scripture, and that's what we're going to do, this is not based on opinion, but on fact, you can say, according to Scripture, none of us are good. And I can tell you right now, as your pastor, I'm not good. As you found out in Wednesday night Bible study, things weren't too good this week. So I threatened a 12-year-old. That's no good. That's no good. Is this being recorded? Oh, Dan, can you scratch the whole threatening the 12-year-old? I don't want that to go out. No, it's going to be on there? All right. Okay. For you visitors, don't worry. It just happens like once every 10 years. Okay, we're good. All right. Let's move on. Romans 6:23, and let's start by saying this. No one deserves heaven. No one deserves heaven. Not everyone, folks, is going to get to this destination. It's true. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree. I know a lot of people are going to say, everybody gets to heaven. It's not true. So let's look at Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, if I take these words, free gift of God, if you say, Chad, I want you to condense them. We're going to condense them. We're going to condense them to one word, and that word is grace. The free gift of God, narrowed down, just means grace. That's what it is. So Romans 6:23 tells us that the grace of God is a gift of God. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We just get it when we believe in Jesus and we believe in God and we trust in the Holy Spirit to lead us. This is what we know. So as we move on now we can establish that the free gift of God is waiting for all of us. So if someone says, I want to keep going down this road. This sounds good. I admit it. I'm not good. I admit it. I admit it that I'm a sinner. I admit it. I admit that God does have something for me. I'll admit it. We'll keep going. Now we go on to Romans 5, verse 8. This is stop 4 on Romans Road. Stop 4, Romans 5, 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. If we look at Romans 1, verse 5, and this is an important passage, Romans 1, verse 5 says this. Again, this is not a stop, it's just a reference. So you don't need to put a number by it, but we're going to reference it. It says, and now through Christ, all the kindness of God has been poured out upon us. Here's your key word, undeserving sinners. And now he is sending us out around the world to tell all people everywhere the great things God has done for them so that they too will believe and obey him. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Here's what we got to do. If you say, I want to go down Romans Road, if the person you're talking to says, you know what, I want to get on this path that leads to salvation, here's what we're going to do. We're going to see that this path not only applies to us, but it applies to everybody else who says, I want to know Jesus. This is what we do. We help them to get them on that path. Christianity can never, ever be a selfish religion. Christianity means that we are in the line of work to make and create and build more Christians. That's what we do. If we didn't care about it, we wouldn't be here to worship God and to thank him for all that he's done for us and make it possible for us to be here. We just wouldn't do it. But today we do it. Mark 10:45, Jesus says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus sacrificed. My question is, what do we do with our lives? Do we long to get to that destination? Do we long to bring others with us to that destination? Let's move on. Romans Road, stop number 5. Romans 10, 9 and 10. For if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your own heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in his heart that a man becomes right with God, and with his mouth he tells others of his faith, confirming his salvation. Someone says, am I a Christian? My question is, do you tell others about it? Are you vocal about it? Do you live it? Do you share it? When people meet you, do they see it? Do you love Jesus? And do others know that you love Jesus? Christianity is not selfish. It is selfless, and it brings others to Jesus. I'm going to read you a passage that comes from Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And again, just another little detour along Romans Road. But I want to read this passage, and here's what Paul says. He says, because of his kindness, you have been saved through trusting Christ. Remember, now we're just going to quickly go back to the first stop on Romans Road. And even trusting is not of yourselves. It, too, is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good that we've done. And so Paul, again, once again, is saying, we're not good enough. He said, salvation is not a reward for the good we've done, so none of us can take any credit for it. It is God himself who made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. In helping others and serving others and loving others and doing for others. When we tell others that Jesus Christ is our Lord and we tell others that we live by his word, we can be certain that we are drawing closer to our eternal destination and that we are finding salvation. That's a good indicator of where we are. Once saved, we help others and serve others so God can save others. This narrow path that I talked about, this Romans Road, it's narrow. It's sometimes foreboding, but I can tell you this. It is not meant for us to be alone. We have to join together on that narrow path and bring others to that narrow path. Let's move on. Romans 10:13, stop number 6 on Romans Road, Romans 10:13. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Their destination, our destination, everyone's destination should be heaven. Romans 8:1, moving on. So there is now no condemnation. Told you we were getting back to it. So there is now no condemnation. Remember, we started over here in condemnation, but now because we've experienced salvation, now we and everyone that we talk to, when we share this and they choose to believe this, we will read these words and understand them. So there is now no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ Jesus. Condemnation must lead to salvation, where we are then led and directed to our eternal heavenly destination. Now, your last stop on Romans Road is Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. I love it. I think it perfectly encapsulates the reward of traveling and choosing to go down Romans Road. Romans 5, 1 says this. So now, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith in his promises, here it comes, we can have real peace with him because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Now that makes sense, I think, because Isaiah 9:6 calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. Folks, there are people whose lives are chaotic and hectic. And they say, I don't understand. I either want what you have because you seem to be at peace, or I just want something that I can't have, which is peace. A lot of people today, folks, are looking for peace. The world is chaotic and the world is hectic. How can we show them peace? Oftentimes we struggle to live in peace. But Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our guide and director, our leader, is peace. And his goal is to get us to his destination, heaven, where there will be peace. Now we have real peace. Now, the reason I bring up this Romans 5:1 and the reason we talk about peace is because we have a lot of vacationers and travelers in here. I get it. We vacation every year, once a year, and try to take a fun family-filled, amusement park-filled trip. And we're going to be doing it again this year. We're going to Disney World once again, for like the 400th time. And so it's going to be good. And I promise you it gets even better when we get there. Getting there is oftentimes not peaceful. It is stressful. But once we get there, it is good. And I'm guessing, folks, you would agree. Because for you vacationers and you travelers, I'm going to ask you this. When do you feel peace? Because I'm assuming if you're a driver, we kind of mix it up. We fly, we drive. But if you're a driver and the minute you pull out of the parking lot or your driveway, wherever you're going, I'm assuming there is no peace. I'm assuming halfway through the trip when everybody's hungry and they're going to the bathroom and everybody needs to go to the bathroom, they constantly need to go to the bathroom. Did I mention the bathroom? And what happens is, oftentimes, you men don't feel peace. I get it. And so, but here's what I like, because when we travel, I can tell you when we feel peace. It never fails. Last year we went to Niagara Falls, and I remember we were at Cleveland, and I remember looking over the house that LeBron James built, and I was intrigued, but my daughters weren't, and I remember thinking, this is kind of cool, and my daughters didn't, and I remember as we kept going, I'm thinking, I'm losing them. And so I remember when we literally got into New York, and we saw the sign that said Niagara Falls, and I said, girls, look! And they looked, and we all felt this peace, because we knew we were close. Folks, when you travel, when you vacation, you start to feel peace when you get close to your destination. You will feel, I am certain, the ultimate peace when you take those bags into your resort, your hotel room, your campground, and at that point when you realize that you've made it to your destination. That's peace. If you say, I want real peace, I can assure you this, you will get real peace, not on this earth, but when you get to heaven. That peace will be enjoyed, and it will be something that will be cherished forever. It will flourish forever. Until then, we are on a road to peace. We are on a narrow path that will lead us to eternal and perfect peace. I love what Paul says in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. He says this. He says, now, and listen to the words, because I think Paul was a stressed out dude. I really do. I think he had a lot of stress. But he says, I don't mean to say I'm perfect. And he was right. I haven't learned all I should even yet, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be, but I am bringing all of my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Listen to this word. Paul says, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. You get the impression that Paul was on that road, that he was traveling down that path, and that it was not always peaceful, but more than likely stressful. I think Paul lived a chaotic, hectic life. And I think that's exactly why he looked forward to eternal life. Paul had his priorities in order. Paul understood that the narrow road to heaven can be difficult, strenuous, and painful, but he also knew that his prize, his destination, would ultimately be peaceful. Unfortunately, we see people today, we work with people today, you may go to school with people today who are struggling for reasons not noted by Paul. They're on the wrong road. It's a dark and wide path that leads to destruction. They don't follow or choose to read God's word. They don't choose to walk down that narrow road. They don't choose to build a relationship with the Lord. They think they know better, and they map out their own set of directions. They are their best GPS. They get so lost getting to their destination that they lose focus on the destination. In essence, they create their own definition of heaven, and I know you know people like this. I knew a lady, just talked to her probably less than 6 months ago, and she said, "Chad, I know you're a pastor. I want to ask you something." She said, "I want to know about heaven." And I said, "Sure, what do you want to know about heaven?" She said, "Well, I believe that hell is on this earth." And I said, "Well, you would probably be in the same school with a lot of people that believe hell is on this earth, but I can assure you hell is not on this earth." I said, "Hell is a real place, and it's not on this earth." And I said, "So if you're having a bad day and you're thinking that this is hell, I can assure you your day is going to get a lot worse when you realize what hell really is." A lot of people just don't know. So they write their own rules. They create their own system of beliefs. They say that heaven is attainable by everyone and hell is for no one. And I can tell you that the Bible has other words. And they make it very clear. The word makes it very clear of what heaven and hell really is. These people say that everyone gets in, that all paths lead to heaven. And they in turn misdirect and mislead others who are in search of heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, and he doesn't mince words, he says, "I am the way." If we stopped there and didn't read any more, we'd be good. "I am the way." But he goes on, he says, "And the truth and the life, no one gets to the Father except by means of me." He's the only way. When I was growing up, we used to go to the state fair a lot. I like the state fair. I like the junk food that comes from the state fair. And my dad used to take us, every year we'd go. So when I got my driver's license, I was one of those guys, when I got my driver's license, I never saw my parents again. I don't remember what they looked like for like 4 years. And so I got my friends together and I said, "Hey, we're going to go to the state fair." Now, where I grew up, getting to the state fair seemed rather easy because my dad could do it. And my dad's a farmer. He can navigate anywhere. But when I did it, it became more difficult. And I remember when I got all my friends, "Hey, we're going to state fair. Cool, let's go." And we get in the car. Now, keep in mind, this was before cell phones, iPhones, MapQuest, GPS. And I remember getting somewhere close to Springfield. And I never saw the state fair again. Now, I knew that my only alternative, because I didn't have a map, was to call my dad. That was not a good option. And so I wasn't going to get on a payphone. I was not going to call my dad. It was probably more shame, pride than anything. But I remember my friends were so mad at me. And they said, "You took us to the state fair, and we never got to the state fair." And it's true. We never got to the state fair. Here's the reason why. I didn't know how to get there. I just didn't know how to get there. I thought I knew how to get there. I've eaten corn dogs there. I got the funnel cakes there. I didn't know how to get there. A lot of people, folks, with regards to heaven, don't know how to get there. And they're walking down the wrong path, and they're traveling the wrong road, and it's our job to give them the proper directions to get to heaven. You see, our lives started out lost, without hope, without direction, in full condemnation. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2:12-13, "Remember that in those days you were living utterly apart from Christ. You were enemies of God's children, and who had promised you no help. You were lost without God, without hope. But now you belong to Christ Jesus, and though you were once far away from God, now you've been brought near to him because of what Jesus Christ has done for you with his blood." Solomon said in Proverbs 12:28, "The path of the godly leads to life. So why fear death?" I have spent the last month visiting hospitals and nursing homes and I've been meeting with people who are dying. And I can tell you that every time I am over their bed praying and reading, my first question is, "Do you believe in Jesus? Do you live for Jesus? Do you love Jesus?" And when that head is nodded, when those people confirm their relationship with Jesus, I have the greatest peace in my life because I know that those people are closer to their destination than they've ever been. There is peace. And for those people out there who are dying and living without being on that road, without traveling down that path, and they say, I know how to get to heaven. It breaks my heart. This is not peaceful for me. This is stressful for me. I want everyone saved, especially those in the Covell Community Church congregation. We have a job to do. We are MapQuest. We are GPS. We got to get people on the road, the right road, the right path. It is our job to do this. My question today is, what path are we on? And who is leading us onward and heavenward? At what point will we and the lost and the misguided and the misdirected people around us choose to step foot on that narrow path on Romans Road and believe in and live for and ultimately be led by Jesus? Everyone starts out in condemnation, but that doesn't mean we have to be the ones to end up there. John 3, 16 through 18, Jesus says this. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But it doesn't end there. You see, verse 17 is equally as powerful. He says, for God did not send his Son into the world to, key word here, condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Everyone wants to get to heaven, but Jesus is the only one and the only way to get us to heaven. The question is, are we willing to walk that narrow path and be led by him, and then lead others and direct others to him? Romans Road is a great way to direct others from condemnation to a heavenly destination. And as Romans 3:10, 3:23, 6:23, 5, 8, 10, 9 and 10, 10, 13, 8, 1 and 5, 1 tell us, that journey requires a strong faith and a strong reliance upon Jesus. We will never reach our desired destination without him. Folks, my job is not to save you, but rather to direct you to the one who can. That's what we are called to do. Solomon said in Proverbs 16:17, the path of the godly leads away from evil. He who follows the path is safe. There is no peace. There is peace and safety. There is no peace when we choose to travel the wrong road, the wide path. There is no safety. Today we search for peace. Today we long for peace. And today I pray that we will say, today I live for eternity. Today I want that peace. Today we will look at our family members and our friends and our coworkers and our classmates. We will look at them and we will say, I want to help them. And I want to direct them. I want to lead them. I want to get them on that road and on that narrow path. This is what we are called to do. I implore you today as your pastor to repent today, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. Make certain of your destination if your tomorrow never comes. Today we are going to have an opportunity. It is going to be an opportunity that is offered through this Covell Community Church to give your life to Jesus Christ. This is what we do. It is a day today, if you've walked into this church and you said, I've never been on this path, I've never set foot on this road. Today we want you to get on that road and to choose to walk down that path. Today you can use this card as your means to do it. Today you will say, I'm not good. Today you will say, I'm a sinner. Today you will say, I am in need of Jesus Christ and his direction. You will use these words to lead you to Jesus. And so today, I ask that we all pray, and that we all, if you're saved, let's renew our lives in Christ. If you're not, let's give our lives to Christ. But today I ask that we will all repent and get on this road that leads to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you've prepared a narrow path for us, and that is not an easy path to walk. For many it's foreboding, and for others it's challenging, but today we know that it's rewarding, because today we know that we have a heavenly destination that awaits us when we choose to believe in and live for and love Jesus. This is what we are called to do. I pray today that you will help us to grow closer to you each and every day. I pray that for those who have walked into this church today and say, I don't know Jesus, today they'll leave saying, I am building a relationship with Jesus. And I pray today that we will all choose to walk down this same road, that we will trust in your word that tells us about Romans Road. And I pray today that through your powerful word, that we would be led to your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, I pray today, to renew our faith in you or to build a relationship with you. But either way, help us today to leave this church with you. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. This is a song. Let's do this. This is Amazing Grace. I like it. Dan, good call. Let's stand. It's Amazing Grace. I don't know how we can start out in condemnation and how a loving God can take us from that place of condemnation to our eternal destination. Only a loving God can do it. And a Savior named Jesus Christ who cares enough about us to do it. Praise God for the opportunity that we have to live an eternal life. It's only because of him that we can do it. So today, we're going to put these up front here. Here's what I'm going to do. If you don't want one, you don't have to get one. If you want one, we're going to set them right here. Please, if you would, please save some for second service. We've got, I think, 100 here. And so I know some people, if you want to take them as a couple, that's fine too, or photocopy them. My hope is this, folks. My hope is you keep it in your purse, in your wallet, in your pocket. And then when everybody asks or anybody asks, you can just say, you know what? I've got the answer on how to get to heaven. Here's what God's word says. This is what we have to know. With that being said, folks, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for our congregation today and for all that have gathered. I thank you for teaching us through your word how we can get from that point of condemnation to our eternal destination and what salvation looks like and what it is. Thank you for what Jesus has done for us. I pray each day that we will live for Jesus, and I pray that we will long to bring others on to this path and this road. Move in us, I pray, and challenge us each day to get closer to you and to be more like Christ in all that we do. And we ask all these things according to your will. We love you with all of our hearts. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.